K103.7 FM and Scott Hellman Bungalow on K103. And in studio is Scott Hellman. Scott, is that the... first of all, welcome. Thank you for coming down here.
Thanks for having me.
I know you're in a... we were just talking off air. You just got, just today alone, a crazy busy schedule all over the place.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's all good, though.
Good, good.
Yeah.
So, you're from Toronto, born and raised.
Yep.
Okay. Some of the first steps here. What got you to want to get into music business? And once you did, how did you get there to the point that you are right now?
Yeah. Well, I remember, like, I was a mess of a kid. Like, I have ADHD, so I was always, like, okay, not paying attention in school, and you know, wasn't really good at much. Like, I was a smarty pants, but uh-huh, I couldn't really focus very well, and really didn't like sports at all. And I didn't like the idea of, like, playing football and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So then I kind of turned, like, 11 or something. I think I was 11, and nobody in my family played music, but I just was like, hey, can you get me a guitar?
So, and you didn't have that musical?
No, not really. I mean, my mom's a painter, but besides that, there wasn't, like, a mass amount of art growing up. It was sort of more not really there. But then I was like, can I get a guitar? And my parents got me a guitar, and I just, like, could not stop playing it. And
so you really took to it?
Yeah, it was almost like a spiritual, like, whoa. Like, I remember it was one of the first moments in my life where I went, like, this is almost, like, exactly the way that people talk when people talk about, like, the first time they played some music or the first time they heard a certain song. Like, it was like that. It was like, whoa, this is, I don't want to go to school, I don't want to do anything, I just want to play this thing. So I did that. I played pretty much every day. And then I became, like, the guitar kid, and I was like, okay, well, I want to be Jimi Hendrix, and I want to be the best guitar player in the world.
Yeah.
And then I started to, like, as I learned more, my musical taste really expanded. Like, I you know, I really got into the Beatles and Pink Floyd and, like, Bob Marley, and then I started discovering, like, because my parents are British, so I wasn't really raised on Canadian music, and then I started discovering, like, you know, The Hip and, you know, Guess Who and Neil Young and all that stuff. So then I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna start writing songs, which I'd already kind of tried to do, but then I really sat down and I was like, I want to be a songwriter, I think. Yeah. So then I started to write songs, and they were terrible.
Well, yeah, okay. You're answering some of my questions when I get there. No, that's perfect.
Yeah, no, they were.
Where did you learn? So obviously you had no training to write songs, so you're just figuring it out on your own pretty well at this point, right?
Yeah, and I think I was lucky because I got introduced to, like, you know, super old school music, and, like, the nice thing about that is like, you know, like, when you listen to, if you listen to Neil Young live at Massey Hall in 71 or something, like, his guitar is, like, he didn't use a tuner, like, he just, like, tuned it however he wanted it to sound that day.
And so,
you know,
Neil Young,
you tune your guitar to, like, a basic tuning for anyone that plays guitar, like, you'd know it. There's like a standard way to tune your guitar, and then, you know, you throw on a Neil Young record and you're like, how the heck is he playing that tune? It's so cool. And then you realize he's doing it in this wacky way, and you're like, oh, cool. So, you know, you just learn and adapt, and then once you put your guitar in that weird tuning, you're like, okay, let me try this, and then do you start to just kind of explore, and then, you know, the words started coming and the melody started coming, and you know, they weren't good, but they were at least there was that kind of seed of, like, okay, I think I can do this, like, I can at least write a verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, or whatever the hell it is. So
did you bump into somebody through your travels and through your experiences doing this, building it at a young age, bump into someone, say, hey, I can work with your stuff is solid?
Well, yeah, I started to write more and more, and I got better, and then I started putting stuff online, and then just through certain circumstances I met Ron Lapata, who's my A&R guy now at Warner Music, and he was like, yo, come in and basically play all your terrible songs for us. I came in with my notebook and put it down and played my songs for these record label executives, and I was like, what is going on? I was freaking out. I was like, definitely, like, it was intense.
Now, how old were you at this point?
I think I was 15.
Oh, you must have been intimidated.
I was so scared. And
everything can crash and burn as well as it can go the other way, right?
Oh yeah, and it's like I knew that if I didn't walk away like feeling like I succeeded, I would just, you know, it probably would have just added fire to the flame. I probably just would have said like, screw the labels, I'm gonna be a punk rocker or whatever it was. So I was lucky though, and they were like, okay, yeah, like well, we see. I guess they saw something in me that they thought would just work for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Sorry. And and then I got this like, yeah. So then we started working together since then.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I gotta say, like Ron the Pata introduced me to certain writers and artists that went, yeah, like, okay, let's write together. And one being Simon Wilcox, who she writes, I mean, she did like Jealous by Nick Jonas and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and she's the greatest songwriter I've ever met. Yeah. And for her to just go, okay, let's write some songs, and have been writing with her ever since. So
now what's your studio experience like? I mean, a very young age, you're also throwing you into a studio and learning that whole process, which is parts of it, let's be honest, can be tedious. Some are great.
Totally tedious. And I listen back to some of the stuff that I like, those early demos I did, which I would love to release at some point, but I go back and I listen to those early demos and I'm like, man, I know exactly what I was trying to do when I was doing that, and it was not working for me. Like certain vocal things you try, but it's all just like a journey to find that voice. And it took me like 3 years. And this is, I'll say this to anybody that's wants to pursue music or wants to be an artist. It's like, it took me 3 or 4 years to get to a place where I even thought it was even remotely something possible. I wanted to release. Like Bungalow and just Augusta, the EP, that took me like 4 years to figure out that's what I wanted to sound like. So it's a journey, and you got to take your time. And I know it's like, okay, I want to get this out, because that's how I felt. Mm-hmm. And I had really lucky that I had people going, just trust me, you don't want to put that out yet. Like, you want to better, you know?
So, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you can walk into a studio or with those, you know, these producers and stuff like, look, I got 20 songs here, and they're going to narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no,
for sure.
You know, and but that song's, you know, you put a lot into it, but you're thinking, no, that sounds good.
Yeah.
But they know. Yeah. You have to put your trust in them, right?
There's an element to it. And this is one of the best lessons I learned was that early on, I think what any artist has to decide is what they're willing to compromise and what they're not willing to compromise. Because you're going to make compromises. You're going to give something up. You're going to have to change stuff. Yeah. You're going to have to go, maybe that lyric's not as good as I thought it was.
Yeah.
But if you know what you don't want to compromise, if you know what you want to hold on to, then you keep yourself. Like, you don't change too much.
Yeah, I think a better word to use, I mean, someone like me or an interviewer would throw that word compromise at you, and I have thrown it at artists at times, and they get very, whoa, I'm not going to compromise as you're talking about. I look at it in a way, it's not compromising, you're adapting.
Right.
Which takes
but at the time at the time it's you think it's compromising, you're
absolutely.
Like you're like, I'm giving up who I am. It's like, no, you're just changing the word "the" to like "we" or something.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like,
yeah,
what exactly. Do you, whatever you're trying to say is still there. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
I still feel like me sometimes.
There you go. So you had a first EP. You got Juno nominated as well. Much Music. So you have nominations, and it went gold for you.
Yeah, a platinum actually.
Platinum. Oh,
because funny because we were talking about this before, but they added this. They added the Spotify. Like, they added Spotify streams to the like to the credentials of what your record is, so it when they passed that, it went platinum, which I was like, whoa, man, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Now, is it only available in Canada with Warner Music and stuff like that? Are they looking at bringing, you know, this to the US and to Europe and stuff like that?
Yeah. I mean, like, there's obviously a lot of politics that goes into it, and you know,
it's not that cut and dry.
It's not that simple. But for me personally, it's always been just like make as the best music you can make, and you know, like, work as hard as you can, and like whatever happens. But yeah, like you know, I've toured Europe and I've toured the US, and you know, I know I have fans there. It's just you know, there's a lot that goes into it, but I think, I don't know, I try not to focus too much on like breaking out or whatever that means, because it's like I just wanted to make the best record I could. And because the other thing too is, I know that, you know, if this all ended right now, I would at least be able to go, I made the record, I made the best record I could. Yeah. I made the record that I wanted to make. And like, there was a lot of work and I'm proud of it. You know, if I had to, you know, pack it all up and go be a painter or whatever the hell, then at least I can say that. So,
well, it's a lifelong journey and it's something that you've taken very serious since you were very young. So, it, you know, as I think I heard Keith Richards say once, you know, you get on that train, you're going.
Totally. It's, you know, nonstop.
Exactly. And to get too much too early, you know, where do you go from there? You know, the football star that's big quarterback.
Also
and,
the thing.
You know, where do you go? And it's, you know what they say, it's easy to get to the top, but staying there is difficult.
And you know what I will say is the people that did stay there, they didn't get to the top as quick as you think they did.
That's right.
And I've had people in my life, at least, you know, relationships in my life where people go, this is your one shot. And it's like, what do you mean, dude? Mm-hmm. Like Bruce Springsteen had his, went mainstream on his third studio record.
That's right.
It's like, exactly. I have no interest in that mentality. I'm just making art that I love and
just hope it works.
And just hope it works. Yeah, and if it doesn't, then I guess I'll just keep making it. But
yeah. So you know what we're going to do, Scott? I'm going to play that song that we mentioned, That Sweater. Tell me a little, and while we're playing the song, you can break out your guitars and we can relax for a few minutes. Tell me about the song, That Sweater.
It's so funny because That Sweater was one of the earlier songs I'd written in that kind of demo stage.
Okay.
When I first got a development deal and when I was writing Augusta, I went back to some of the earlier demos and I was this song, there's something about this song that I need to, I have to put this on the record. And we just revamped it pretty much. I took all the verses are just basically what was there originally, but we just vamped it to just be a little bit more fun and cooler. And I just had a fun time remaking it and stuff. So that's an earlier song. I think it was about this girl that I really liked in high school, and she just was not down for me at all.
Bet she's looking for you now though.
Yeah, whatever. We'll see.
All right, we'll play that, Scott, and hold on. Oh, sorry, gotta reach over and get this mouse here, and we'll fire this one up. This one's called That Sweater. Scott Hellman in studio, K103.
Here we go, oh God, I know the words just flow because I'm getting low, lower than you see me get before. And please don't ignore me like I'm something you forgot at the corner store. Take a look in my book, I got a whole world to explore. I won't be a bore, whore loves in effect, yes, it's a battle for sure. Can't you see me coming back for war? And don't slap me across the place, me in disgrace. Now you can't relate to my everyday life. I was doing it right till you came along and broke my stride.
Volume high enough to drown it out. Two men loving on my woman's couch. Jesus, why you gotta be so loud? Let me be the one to make you shout. Ooh, 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 I love it when you wear that sweater. Ooh, 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 I love it when you wear that sweater.
You see, it's all about the motive, not about the showbiz or the cool kids sitting in the corner like they're hiding away from the way they used to fall in love with someone new every Saturday. I want you bad, like they say in every cliche song about teenage love. Just a few cruel, jumbled up years, and it feels like they come and go, and then you won't be here.
Volume high enough to drown it out. Two in love and on my woman's couch. Jesus, why you gotta be so loud? Let me be the one to make you shout. Oh, 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 I love it when you wear that sweater. Oh, 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 I love it when you wear that sweater.
I hear the bell ring, the sunshine crawling over the cedar swings, and I saw you in the sunlight.
Falling high enough to drown it out. Two in love and on my woman's couch. Jesus, why you gotta be so loud? Let me be the one to make you shout.
right. K 103.7 FM. That was Scott Hellman. That was the song Sweater. Ladies and gentlemen, you really got to watch the video for that. It is, we were just talking about checking it out off air, and it's a lot of fun. And that's off the first EP, right?
Yeah, yeah. First round.
Okay. Break Out Your Martin. Play me a song. The mic will pick everything up. I'll adjust it here. So what song do you got planned for us?
Well, I was, you know, we just put out this song called Kind of Complicated, but I really think that I want whoever's listening to hear it, like how it was recorded, because I think you'll see why. Oh, but okay. I also released this song called 21 Days a little bit before I did just release this song. So,
okay.
I thought I'd play that just because it's a little bit more acoustic and a little bit more guitar-oriented tune. So
okay, absolutely. Cool. Go for it. Scott Hellman, this song is called 21 Days on K103 live in studio.
"21 days till the zombies come and the earth is done. I'm gonna love someone. You look so calm, not one bit scared in the monster stare. What I got, I'll share. So let 'em burn the world. If a cardboard castle is all we have, love, we can make it sweet. With the animals gone, and you told me, love, there's nowhere left to run. And all of the fighting and all the world wars, it makes you wonder what it was all for. I wanna live with till the zombies come and the earth is done. I'm gonna love someone. I wanna live with you. If a cardboard castle is all we have, love, we can make it sweet. I wanna live with you in a cardboard castle. Neither will we.
Scott Helman, K103.7 FM. Great song.
Thank you.
You had me at Zombies on that one.
Yes.
As soon as you said Zombies, this is a good song. I love it. Great playing, great song. I really love it.
Yeah, I have to do the whistle because my guitar player is not here. So.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a great whistler, but I try.
Well, you whistle way better than I do, though. So that worked out fantastic. Let's wrap this thing up here. I know you probably got a bit more of a busy day, obviously. Just quickly, your new album, Hotel de Ville.
Yes.
Right? When's it out?
It's out May 12th.
Okay.
If you pre-order it now, you can get Kind of Complicated, which is that the next?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So the next song you'll hear, that's the second single. I don't know. So you get Kind of Complicated in the song I just played, which is called 21 Days.
Right.
And then it's out May 12th. And yeah. And then, yeah.
Cool. It's a full album. And I know you got a few dates coming up in Toronto, but is there a tour planned for Canada is there Montreal? Are you coming here?
I can't say yet. I can't really say yet. But yes, I mean, I'm sure we'll be around the country and playing shows.
Yeah.
So yeah, just keep your eye out. If you go to my website, which is scotthelmanmusic.com, and you click tour, then all that stuff's there. So.
Yeah, that's true. I was on there this morning. Yeah, go on Facebook. I got you following on Facebook now, so I got you there, and I got your website. We'll keep our audience. I mean, we keep an eye on this stuff all the time here, hopefully, and we'll send it out, because if you come to town, I'm going to the show. Definitely.
Awesome. I would love to see you there.
Yeah. Now, one last question. This is my fun question to musicians all the time. I like to light things up.
You mentioned there was going to be a fun question.
All right. If you have a chance, you're on stage, you can have anyone on stage with you, dead or alive, who would it be?
Oh, man.
No wrong answer. It could be two people if you're, if you...
Right now, how I'm feeling about it?
Yeah, right now at this moment. Yeah, sure.
I'm gonna say Bowie would probably be the bomb.
Oh, good answer.
Yeah. I've watched a lot of videos of him performing, and
he's amazing.
The thing that really really blows my mind is like how he interacts with other people on stage, and I've just thought like, wow, that would be just really so fun to like, he really connects, like he really looks into the eyes of the people he's playing music with, and just to have that look from Bowie on stage, like, let's go do this, like that would probably
that's a good answer. That one I haven't, no one said that yet.
Okay.
Yeah, Bowie, good
stuff.
What
do people usually say?
Oh, yeah, you hear Eric Clapton, Jimi Hendrix, John Bonham, people like that, which are all good answers because there's no wrong answer, but, Bowie, that's excellent.
Bonham's pretty good, too, though.
Yeah. Well, okay, if you got a minute, line up a band for me behind you. Who would it be?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, give me a band.
Okay, all right. Band, I would say, his name's escaped me. What's the drummer from the Stones?
Charlie Watts.
Yeah, I'd have him on drums.
Okay.
Just laying that epic
that solid beat, yeah.
Man, that's
let's go
so
to bass.
Hard.
Bass guitar.
I mean Paul McCartney. Can he also sing like vocals as well?
Sure.
So me and McCartney on bass.
Right.
I'd be on acoustic guitar. You'd have Watts on drums, and then
Electric guitar.
Oh, man.
Rhythm or lead type guy.
Maybe Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, nice.
Because that would be a weird show, though. That'd be like the last waltz, just not like the last waltz. That would be weird. But that would probably be my lineup. So
that would work. Or yeah. Stevie Ray's rhythm.
On keyboards, I would have someone really weird, like someone super weird. Like, I don't know. Let me get back to you on keyboards.
Keyboards from Yes. What's his name?
Yep.
I'm trying to think of his name now. It slips my mind.
That would be a good one.
Rick Wakeman.
That's
you want someone weird.
Rick Wakeman.
There you go.
Is Rick Wakeman still around?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
So, Rick, if you're listening, me and you, we got to spearhead this band together. Get McCartney on the phone.
That's right. Okay. I'm in the front row. That's happening. Scott Helman, thank you very much and taking the time. I know you got a busy schedule today, and we hope we meet again and bump into each other and come to town. We're there.
Thank you. And thanks for everyone listening.